Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett of the football world. I like to think Tony Moclo, Tony DeBolfo. I might even get my own surname right. How's that, Tony Moclair? It is episode Matty Allen.
Episode Agate. Yes, yeah. Very true, Tony. Lovely call. Episode Matty Allen.
I loved Matty's work.
Yes, a great cunt man. And I know he went to the dark side to finish his career at Windy Hill.
Let's not talk about
that. He comes back to Carlton Games and he loves it, Tony.
He's a good man and he was a great servant of the club, as you say. Well, Tone, let's talk about the West Coast game. You have never seen more security at a game of AFL, and yet West Coast still stole it.
Somehow they found a way, Tony. Yes, 26,000 in the ground, and I suspect 5,000 of them were Secret Service. It was an amazing logistical exercise. We were just talking off air, weren't we, about, you know, the cast of thousands that were there and you know, the armour-plated cars and support vehicles
and soggies, the SOGs.
Soggies sort of, you know, strategically placed all around the ground of the MCG. I did have a bit of trouble getting up the elevators I'd normally take to from the basement to the ground level of the MCG, Tone. I was told in no uncertain terms by a man who was wired up, I'm sorry, sir, you've got to use another elevator. And when I asked him, which one do I use, he says, how would I know? I'm an American. I've been here 5 minutes. They were actually okay. You know, yeah. It was probably one of the most fun-loving assassins I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, Tony. but it was just incredible to see the logistics of it all. And I thought Carlton really handled it well. You know, to take the vice president out onto the hallowed turf, was introduced to Murph.
Yeah.
He was given a Biden dark navy blue jumper, which he gleefully paraded to the cameras.
Excellent.
And I think he genuinely enjoyed the experience of being there. You know, he sat with Matty Korchek in the stands to watch the game as it panned out. And I know he was absolutely disappointed and crestfallen with the result, Tony.
Sure,
he wasn't happy. And he left almost a broken man at the end of the game. However, as disappointing as it was, Tony, we take a lot from what we saw in that last quarter, I feel.
Well, it's funny you say that because Joe Biden's boss, Obama, got elected on the slogan, "Yes, we can." And there was no Carlton supporter not thinking that in the last quarter.
A great call, Tony. And I agree with you. It was magnificent to see that latent support, the dormant support that was there, because we had numbers there that they were fairly subdued for the most part.
Mm.
West Coast probably let Carlton off the hook with Aaron kicking early.
Yeah.
So Carlton was in the game for a very, very long period of time. And 5 more minutes, I think, probably would have been enough to see the home team get over the line. But when you reflect on the game, you know, there were probably 3 or 4 instances where goals were gifted to West Coast, you know, from errant mistakes here and there, and they proved really costly. But it was so exciting to see that last quarter, the way it panned out, and the Carlton people were onto it. And I think the players to a man really rallied to the support of the members who were there. And as I say, you know, 3 or 4 more minutes, and I think it would have been a different result.
I'm going to protect the identity of the person who revealed this to us, Tone. there was a talk, I guess, about the confidence of the team. We're coming off a couple of big losses, and the playing group may have had their confidence dented a little bit. That they'd gone into their shells. That seemed to evaporate in the last quarter. They were dancing like nobody was watching.
No, very true, Tony. And I think, look, what we have to do is compliment the selection committee. You know, I know there was a change in force with Levi out, but you'd have to say that the ins all performed for Carlton at the weekend. And I think what gave all of us so much joy was the performance of that young brigade of players. You know? To see Jack Silvani, Charlie Curnow clunk a couple, Jakob Vietering going forward and taking those magnificent marks and kicking truly, you know, no problems at all with the finishing for goal. I think when you come away from that game, and I certainly thought this leaving, I was disappointed with the result, but I was so very heartened by what I saw in that last quarter. You know, Cripps too, I must commend, had a fairly quiet first half, Ian Gibbs, but really turned it around and found a way to get Carlton back into the game. And I think you come away quite buoyant and upbeat by what you saw because the future is in those players that I mentioned, and it's exciting. You know, all these players basically needed games under their belt, and they are going to be great players for Carlton, that's for sure.
Let's talk about Wiedering up front, because they were exciting grabs. They were, you know, they were contested marks. Well, he's got the height. He's got, but you know, what he's got in abundance is the smarts.
He's smart. When you think that probably in recent weeks it's been something of a rarity to see a key position Carlton player take a mark in their forward 50.
Yeah.
It's been the real I guess disappointment in the way the team's performed that we haven't found a way getting the ball into our scoring zone. The back line, as ever, was, you know, supreme. Had a great year, and it seems to be really set. The midfield, obviously, the loss of Murphy is really kicked in, and yet we've struggled to find a way through the big sticks up forward. I think what Wiedering gave us was something that we'd sorely needed for some time now. Someone that was in a position to take a couple of really big pack marks, you know, and find a way through to the goals. And it's a testimony, as you said, Tony, to I think Wiedering's raw ability, but also his smarts, you know, that he was able to get himself into the right position to really make an impact for the team where we needed it most.
What do you do then? Just a hypothetical, obviously, Tone, but if he has shown that he can perform up that end of the ground.
Yes.
And do you swap him around? I know Levi's coming back next week. It was only a one-match suspension that he had.
Well, that's true too. And Harry Mackay was probably, you know, thereabouts. If, you know, his good form continues, I dare say we're going to get to see him in action at some stage. So I think look, I guess the best way to answer that question is that we know that Jakob can swing forward or back. There's no dramas there at all. And in this game, you have to be versatile, you know, and have that capacity to basically play anywhere. So I think what, you know, Brent Bolton has at his disposal is an extremely versatile footballer that's capable of playing either end, you know, and it'll be horses for courses, you know. Who's to say that we don't see, Wiedering as a forward line player for the long haul? I think it'll depend on the time and place, but what we do know is that he's capable of performing at either end.
Didn't we hear that story of Jakob in a junior grade match? He played for the opposition.
Yes.
He basically, they were a man down, so yes, they said, Jakob, you go, and Wiedering kicked, I think, eight of their 10 goals in the second half.
That's very true. So he's had that experience previously. And look, if you think back to someone like Stephen Silvani, I mean, fullback of the century, admittedly, but he kicked a couple of hundred plus goals for Carlton, drifting forward.
I'd say he was always happier forward.
Oh, well, and I mean, I remember him kicking bags of 8 and 9. I think he might have bobbed up with 8 or 9 against West Coast, for memory. So there was a player that was capable of playing at either end, and perhaps what we're seeing in Wiedering now is that versatility, the capacity to and the smarts to be able to adapt to any role on the field, whether forward or back. And that's just a great thing for Carlton and for Bryn Bolton, that he knows he's got a player capable of doing the job wherever it might be.
He was very, well, not very up, but certainly compared to last week, the press conference was a lot more enjoyable to watch.
Yes.
Because, you know, Brendan Bolton just talked about the emerging potential of the group, the green shoots, that got mentioned a lot, and there was ample evidence, obviously.
That's so very true, Tony. And you think about it, you know, in the cold light of day now, yeah, how much you want to see Mackay in there and David Cunningham, you know, and just play them all. You know, we want to see these players. This is the future of the club, and we want to see them up and about. And I think that's where it augurs well for Carlton, that we've got a core of players that are young and are going to be there for the long haul as Carlton continues to reinvent itself. We're probably going to be privy to some more good early selections this year in the draft. Be interesting to see how we go in the pre-draft trade period. That'll be interesting again. Maybe Soss can pull a rabbit out of the hat as he did last year. But I think we're going to continue to see turnover in the playing group, and we're just getting good young players into this club. And as I said earlier, that those players are the future of Carlton.
Well, you look at the way the place shook when Silvani kicked that goal. And you think that that's a fairy tale of sorts for Carlton supporters. This is the third generation now. I was listening to a game a couple of weeks ago on the radio and I hear the name Silvani for Carlton and I just think, hang on, it was yesterday that I was listening to his old man going around and I'm feeling very old all of a sudden, But that is the future and that is what will get bums on seats for Carlton games.
That's true.
They are so excited.
That's very true, Tony. And if you take it back further to when Sergio Silvani played, can you imagine the joy that must have brought the Italian community to hear a name, that name that they could identify with playing the great Australian game. And, I think what the Silvanis have done have really galvanised the Carlton community. You know, it's a great story. It's just a magnificent family story. And long may the story continue, Tony. It's just magnificent to be part of it and sitting back and reading the tale.
He's great to watch. Can I just say?
He's great to watch. Like he's another smart player.
Yes.
Another smart player like Jakob.
Let's not ignore the great work of Kerno. That was...
Well...
It was...
Again, you know, there's a player that's coming off about a glandular fever that's, you know, had an an illness-interrupted season this year and probably had to do it the hard way. But, you know, he's at that stage in his career where he's still finding his feet. But... I sort of made the point afterwards that with these players that we mentioned, Kerno being one of them, you actually see the improvement of these fellows almost from quarter to quarter. Mm. I mean, the improvement is so dramatic. And with each contest, there's a new experience and, you know, and they learn from it and they grow because of it. And I just think the improvement of these players is so dramatic. That's probably the attraction of watching Carlton at the moment, that you're seeing... You're seeing the future played out before your eyes, and it's you know, it's getting better by the minute.
Well, look, if we can keep last year's grand finalists as honest as we did,
yes,
you know, 7 points. It was a.
Oh look, you know, and when you look at you know the obviously Cripper missed a pretty you know gettable set shot, and there are others that were gifted. You know, I think Liam Sumner might have coughed one up. Whitey the same. There were a couple through the course of the game that were just poor decisions at the time that really, really hurt us on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And when you break that down, you know, you take that out of the equation, suddenly we're 3 or 4 up. So you do wonder what might have been, you know, with that result. But it is a strong learning curve for this young group and fingers crossed they'll be the better for it when they run out this weekend.
Well, to quote another Obama platitude, we experienced the audacity of hope in that last quarter. But I don't... you know, and I'm sure I'm the same as a lot of supporters here. You just want an honest contest and you want to see the kids played. 7 points, 7 points, meh, who cares? It would have been great to win. But, you know, if this is further evidence that we're tracking upwards, then you'll take that any day of the week.
And that's a great point you make about honesty of performance, because I think by and large, notwithstanding the mistakes here and there, it was a four-quarter performance. Mm. I think the team, you know, started a little bit slowly, but they hung in. They were in the game for a long time and with an ounce of luck probably could have pinched at the finish. So Brendan Bolton's been seeking four quarters from this group. And that was, you know, that was close enough to it. And I think that's a challenge now for the players towards in the run home to the final game. Can they string four quarter performances together from here on in? That is the challenge.
I'll get your votes in a second time, but I just want to mention the orange socks. When I saw them, I thought, now is this true? Going way back to Carlton's origins, the players once ran out with orange caps on because of a connection to the Loyal Orange Order.
Well, I don't know if. Well, that might be another story. I don't know that for sure. What I do know, you're right that they did wear orange caps. My understanding was it was to distinguish Carlton from. I don't know whether it was University or who it was that were also in dark navy.
Oh,
so
okay.
When the two teams played.
Yep.
Carlton wore orange caps to distinguish themselves from their opponents. And I always said here, if you look at orange and navy. And dark navy, it's a magnificent combination.
Yeah.
And I was trying to lobby some years ago to have the away strip orange with the blue.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, it didn't get too far. And I regret that because I think it could have worked.
It's a pretty freighted colour. I'd say in this country, you know, with the...
Well...
You know, I guess... Well, didn't sectarian worry undertones.
Yeah, didn't worry GWS.
Well, that's true. That's true. But,
it's an interesting comment you make, though. Maybe I need to delve a little bit more into the, you know, the murky depths of early history here and see if there were, you know, there were undertones back to... back to Ireland.
Well, I just remember Tom Elliott saying that
he
to
said
me.
That, did he?
Yeah, it was maybe just a wind up for me because I'm of Catholic Irish extraction. But anyway,
but a hell of a nice bloke.
Well, I try. I do what I can. Now, Tone, your votes.
Yes. Well, again, I found it somewhat difficult, Tony, because there were players that were really good performers for Carlton and others that bobbed up at crucial moments. You know, I'm going to go with one vote to Simon White.
Excellent.
Again, Whitey is the sort of player that plays for keeps. I love the way he plays.
Yeah.
You know, really puts his body on the line. A hard nut. We need a lot of players of his ilk. I went with Cripper for two votes. I thought he was down early, but I mean, he really, turned the game on its ear. I thought. In the last quarter, I mean, he was running rampant. It was magnificent to see. I give him credit because he obviously found a way to shake the tag.
Yeah.
With Murphy not there, a lot of the workload has fallen to him and with it a lot of opposition attention. Mm. But I think what was great about Cripps' game was that he found a way, you know, to extricate himself from the tag and become a really significant player for Carlton. And three votes... What a year. The little big man in the number six Guernsey, Cade Simpson. I just thought he was superb for four quarters. What a year he's had. I mean, it's an extraordinary year. Brent Harvey, look out. I mean, this bloke, he's probably got another 200 in him, the way he's going. It was just magnificent to see, you know, body on the line stuff, typical Simo performance and... long may he reign at Carlton as a player. Great performance from him.
Still on a high from his appearance at Fairfield Primary School with Doc earlier in the week.
I'm amazed that you weren't there.
I tell you, if you think the security for Joe Biden at the MCG was something, snipers on the roofs everywhere when Simo walks in, he has to be protected.
Did you front up in a crash helmet, Tony, to pick your kids up there?
No, just usual civvies for me. Now, Sydney, the SCG,
it's probably the ultimate test, isn't it, really? I suppose Sydney on their own dunghill, the SCG, 1:45 Saturday afternoon. Again, you know, it's an enormous challenge for the Carlton team this week. Sydney on their own home ground are going to be a formidable foe. They'll be probably smoking after that, last gasp loss to Hawthorn. Thank you, Cyril. Unfortunately, you know, Carlton are probably going to be copping a fairly hostile opposition in the Swans this week. But that's good. That's good. You know, it's an enormous challenge for the Carlton players. And let's hear how they respond to a bona fide finalist in 2016. It'll be interesting just to see how our players stand up to this test, because it will be a test, no doubt about that.
There's been a lot of great moments at the SCG. There was a night final there. I'm trying to remember the year, Tom. Was it 2014? Or was it earlier than that? Remember, the club's changing rooms were about... They were located somewhere in the Blue Mountains. And the team had to walk all the way in.
Right.
It was one of Juddy's great games.
Right.
From memory. It was,
and there was
the ball was wet.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it was the week after we'd beaten Richmond. Is that right?
I don't believe it was a final. I think it was perhaps the latter half of that season.
Okay.
But he literally willed Carlton over the line that game, Chris Judd.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the, you know, the greatest single performances you'd ever wish to see. Had a good track record up at Sydney, Juddy. You know, he tore them apart in that third quarter, that final at ANZ Stadium, I recall, some years ago. Look, it hasn't been the happiest of hunting grounds. You know, for any team visiting the SCG, it's going to be a baptism of fire, probably. But you know, you to be any good in this competition, you've got to face opposition that is the best, and it's how you react to it, how you respond to it, how you weather it, and how you hit back at it. So I think Carlton can take a lot away from the West Coast game and can go into this game against Sydney with a fair degree of confidence and probably a reasonable amount of freedom to play. I think the pressure will be on Sydney to perform and to atone, but Carlton should really look at this as a magnificent opportunity to make a statement against a team that is obviously challenging for a premiership. So let's see what happens.
Well, it wouldn't be the two tones without me asking how Murph is tracking, will he be back or not? And how long's Kieran Byrne's out for?
Well, Kieran Byrne, I think, is pretty much gone for the best part of 12 months. Okay. Like it's an anterior cruciate, so unfortunately he's got to go through the rehab and what have you to get himself back. Murph, it still remains a little bit of an unknown. We seem to trot out the perennial 1 to 2 weeks.
It's like waiting for Godot.
Yeah, it's when you think back to that incident with Dangerfield, it seems so innocuous. Yeah. It's hard to believe that something like that could have such an impact. But obviously, it's
At least we won that game. Anything good came out of it, it was that.
No, that was good. So again, we're going to have to probably do it without him this week. So again, the test on Cripps and Gibbs is enormous. But let's see how we fare. Great challenge for the Carlton team and all power to them. It's a great opportunity, I think.
I think a betting man would say that Yarks won't be back in the team. I don't want to preempt anything, but does that mean McKay or Cunningham steps up, that the match committee will just roll the dice on some of those younger players and just say, look, you know, in the spirit of Fromelles, we're just going to throw them into combat.
And look, I think you're probably right with Harry McKay. I dare say that Brendan Bolton and the coaching committee are desperate to have a look at him. You know, at this senior league level, has he done enough? Maybe one run. He kicked two on his return match. Might be enough. Don't know. It's an issue that the Brains Trust will have to deliberate long and hard over. You know, on a personal level, you'd love to see him out there playing this week. And, it's a wait-and-see approach, I suspect. He might need another game under his belt, but who knows? They might tempt fate and throw him in, you know, because we all want to see Harry in action and David Cunningham, for that matter, too. Mm. You know, that'll complete the senior appearances of the quintet that was taken in last year that I guess Carlton are hoping to build their teams of the future around. So it's very exciting, isn't it, the prospect that Harry might get a run this week. Let's see how it pans out at selection time.
Indeed. Watch this space. VFL News, the Northern Blues take on the Footscray Bulldogs this Sunday at 2 p.m. at Icon Park. Northern are coming off a good win against North Ballarat, and Blues fans will be pleased to hear that 2015 draftee Harry McKay, as you just said, Tone, kicked two goals in his return game. We just, fingers crossed, it'll be an intriguing contest, whatever happens, and we just hope that there's no blowout, that we see plenty of green shoots continue to emerge against the Bloods.
Well, we hope so, Tony. I don't know if you're heading up there, are you? Half tempted to be driving up this weekend, actually. I like the SCG. I quite like the old world charm of it. You know, it's... I don't mind the idea of heading into a hostile environment to support the team.
I've never seen a game there.
Have you?
Never.
Oh, no. I remember going up there years ago to see Dermot play for the Swans against Hawthorn for the first time.
Oh, okay.
And that was sent up there on assignment. It was just a great experience to be there to see football at the old ground. It's a lovely stadium, the SCG. And I, for one, am glad the Swans are back there now, and you know they've ditched ANZ, because I am a fan of the old, the historic suburban venue. There should be more of them.
I couldn't agree more. Are you listening, AFL? I'm sure they do. Everyone listens to the two tones. Tony DeBolfo, Tony DeMoclair signing off. I've changed my name again for the third time in the course of 25 minutes. We will catch you next week, episode 25. I don't know what player I'm going to reference there. I'm sport for choice.
Alexander the Great, surely.
Or
the Fifth Meister.
Well, you know, star of breakfast radio. The two tones signing out now. We'll catch you next week, and go Blues.